It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time with this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin. Breathe in, breathe out, me and more. Breathe in, breathe out, never mind. It was time, number nine, let my lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list, hold on, we're destined.
You know, some people are routine based. Everything has to be a certain way, or they get thrown off. I was wondering how long I could delay starting the show before it got to our normal routine of starting at a ridiculous time compared to when the show's supposed to start.
Yeah.
But we started at 10:02. But the music came on about 10:01 because John and Lance had stuff to do. You know, they had to check out of the hotel, and John has a tea time, which kind of controls how his day goes. So he's got his a tea life, time back in Houston at about 1 o'clock, so he decided to end the show at a reasonable time. So that's why we're here at 10:02. It's not because of, like, some deference to or respect to when this show is supposed to start.
No.
It's simply because he's got better things to do than extend News of the Weird by 5 minutes. So we begin at a reasonable start time. Still late, but we're here at the Golden Nugget, our final day here at the Golden Nugget. We are in the DraftKings Sportsbook. And this is where we had our draft. In fact, pretty much in the same spot that we had the draft last night, the fantasy football draft. And it all of a sudden became a cash draft where there's real stakes in store. So perhaps I shouldn't have started taking Dolphins I liked late in the draft when I found out that we're going.
I'm glad
there's money on the line.
Yeah,
I didn't wait.
Caleb
till, like,
Douglas got to have that moment with his family.
I did wait until the very end of the draft. Like, okay. I guess we're gonna do this. So it was. I was gonna say a fun night, but that would be lying when it comes to me. I'm sure other people had fun, but. Listening to John yell at people about stuff, and then people look towards me, Del, are you going to get your guy? It's like, no. What am I supposed to do about this?
What has ever led you to believe I would get my guy?
Yeah, first of all, he's not my guy. And secondly, I got no control. That is my life at these events where we're either like about 10 listeners like it was yesterday, maybe 8 or so, or a big party like we're going to have tonight. It is a turn of the head to me. Like, I got anything to do with what's going on the other side of the room as John's doing his thing. So he did his thing last night, and our draft went off in a way that you could expect, where the guys who wanted it to start at a certain point through emails and conversation rushing us, hey, this needs to start here. We want to get this going because we want the night to get going. And then, of course, because of their own actions, it started right about the time it would have started. They didn't change the schedule to begin with. So, and by those two being Lance and John. But as far as the people who were here, all the listeners have, for the most part, had a good time. And I say that because there was one guy who was just like me, who, personality wise, and he was like, "Look, I don't want to take a picture with you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm just here, you know. I'm sure because it's a nice trip. The Golden Nugget treats people well." And he gets to hang out in Lake Charles and enjoy all the things that the Golden Nugget provides for free. And I respect that. But the whole let's hang out with John and Lance, that wasn't part of his plan.
Yeah, and it was nice to have one person as the counterbalance of, like, hey, listen, I'm not here for the antics.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm here for this. I'm here, and I want to get out of here. In fact, he wanted to get out of here so quickly, his computer was being used as the thing we projected the draft on up on the big screen. The Golden Nugget allowed us to do that. And once he made his final pick in the draft, he shut down his computer. So for the rest of the night, it was easy enough.
Yeah, it was one last round.
We could just use the app. That's what we were doing. But he said, no, I'm out of here. In fact, he would have left if not for, like, Lexi asking for a picture that she put up on our social media on ESPN 975. On Instagram. So the draft is over. We'll see how it plays out. John said he's going to be locked in now that there's money involved. So we'll see how it goes for everybody. But as far as what we were watching beyond the draft, it was the Astros taking care of the Yankees and winning a series. They win a series, and it has been their fashion this year to play better against the better teams in baseball, and that played out over the last 3 days as they're on the verge of doing the thing that they have done recently of winning the first game and losing the last two. But last night it was Gerrit Cole versus Wesneski, and Astro fans, and rightfully so, will take great pleasure in any time they can get after Gerrit Cole. The team can, and they did that again last night. Christian Walker hit a home run. Jeremy Pena hit a bomb. And I make a difference in referencing those two, bomb and home run, because the Walker home run was simply just a home run. The Pena one was a shot, and it was enough when you combine that with what Wesneski did and the rest of the pitching staff. A very stark contrast from what we got last night, when Souza was the culprit for
bullpen stylings of Bennett Souza.
So we didn't have any Bennett Souza, and we got a win. So it's nice to take out the Yankees and win that series. And I believe the Mariners and the Rangers both had the night off. So you have a game, you're a game up on the Rangers as you head to New York, or stay in New York to play the Mets, which means you can expect to lose 2 out of 3 because this is how this team operates. You got the worst team, one of the bigger disappointments in all of baseball on your schedule, and you just expect it not to go the way it should. It's just how they've operated. But hopefully not, as it's nice to at least stop the trend that certainly I had noticed. It's not like it was a very difficult thing to notice. It's just, hey, they didn't play well in games 2 and 3 of a series. But that ended last night, so that's good. Good to see the bats come through and get to see a good outing from Wesneski, who will forever be one of the guys in the Kyle Tucker trade until he kind of makes his own way. He'll be remembered as that guy along with Paredes and Cam Smith. So good night, and we move to the weekend, a weekend that features a lot of, let's just say, non-important football. We had some last night with the preseason, and we get some more tonight. I think other than Dylan Gabriel going, excuse me, I mean, if we're really having a competition here,
yeah,
and if we're going by actual things going on in games, what about me? But I think we've all, at least you would imagine, the Browns have seen enough of Dylan Gabriel to not consider him a real competitor, and that's why Deshaun Watson started there. You had Justin Herbert following a snap, which is a very Mike McDaniel quarterback thing to do. If you paid attention to what Tua was up to the last couple of years, he also threw a bomb to Quentin Johnston, who caught it, which is good news for him. And other than that, Drew Aller and Will Howard look more like you would expect them to look in an NFL game, even if it is preseason, as opposed to what they look like to start their preseasons, where people are like, man, told you about Drew Aller. He has all the talent in the world. This show firmly on the other side. Stay on that side. Don't come over here when Drew Aller does what he always does, okay?
We are very familiar with your game,
yeah,
Drew Aller.
Yeah, yeah. He's a perfect James Franklin quarterback. Mm-hmm. You're gonna perform a bit, but when it's showtime, you're not gonna show up. So that's the preseason for you. The one thing that we have tonight, right? Texans and Panthers. I saw a website saying these are the guys you need to take a look at to see if they can make their name. I was like, all right, you got me. Let me look at this list and see what drivel you pulled up to see if it matches what I believe. The only name I saw that had of any consequence is a backup tackle in Blake Fisher. Like, if Blake Fisher goes out there and starts and against the Panthers' backups, I assume, I don't think you're going to see their top guys. Although Justin Herbert did start, so the Chargers ran their starters out there for a drive or so. So we'll see how it goes. But if Blake Fisher can back up the words of D'Amico Ryans and show that he can be a legitimate option as a backup tackle, cool. But other than that, if we get what we're expecting and none of those guys actually play, it's like, all right, is there a depth linebacker that can avoid an injury or a corner that can avoid an injury so you don't hamper your depth even more? But what's the takeaway from the third preseason game when you expect none of these guys to go? Do we get another Marlon Klein moment?
But ooh, I could go for it.
Another Marlon Klein moment. Maybe he catches another seam ball that gets people excited.
Get Lewis Bond involved.
Yeah.
Get some of the rookies where you're like, what if they just got a steal? I like that.
We're at that point of the preseason.
No offense to Zay Jones and Sterling Shepard.
I don't really care what you do in this game.
I can take more from that than those guys. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is, I'm sure, important for the guys on the field, but for me watching it, it is like Blake Fisher can go out there and look like Orlando Pace.
Yeah, but who was he blocking?
And like when, you know, if he ever needs to play in a regular season game, I'm not going to be like, you know, he was good against the Carolina Panthers.
That's the thing.
I'm still going to be like, oh my God.
I'm Blake glib Fisher. And I'm cynical, but I just really would ask the people who either are doing the sports radio thing or just covering the team on a day-to-day basis to take that into account when they start waxing poetic about what a guy does in the preseason. Okay, Blake Fisher blocked the third string off a defensive end for the Panthers, and he did a good job. So if he has to go up against a Josh Hines Allen, are you going to feel good about that or not? So these are things that you get all this information because look, it's a long training camp, long offs, long preseason. So these guys, the guys who do it on a daily basis, have to find their stories. But can you at least always couch it with, I still got to see it against a real good player before I believe, right? Which is actually kind of a question for the Texans offensive line, whatever it's going to be constituted as when you think about it looks like Evan Brown's going to be your starting center, and then Rutledge will play guard along with Ed Ingram and Aaron Terrestri and Trent Brown. We have yet to see them. When I say we, the general public, the guys out of practice have seen them against the frontline guys in joint practices. But for us, for the guys who don't have that opportunity, what are they going to look like against the real unit? In week one, the Bills don't have the star power on the lines of scrimmage that the Texans do on the defensive side. But Greg Rousseau is a good player. We'll see what that defense looks like now that Sean McDermott isn't the head of it. But let's see them against some real guys. And speaking of the Bills, they're playing last night at their Bedpan Stadium. And Sean, you pointed out that because we were getting the audio and it was the Bills broadcast, they were talking about a couple corners maybe battling it out for depth piece or maybe being an important part of the secondary unit. And there a couple six rounders,
as part of the like little bios they had of all the guys they had where they're drafted. And one was seventh round, the other was undrafted. And the color analyst for the Bills TV broadcast was like, yeah, you know, they think these guys can really add and make a deeper room than they had last year. I'm like, okay, like, sure. But, again, if you take it all the way, especially, you know, a team like Buffalo, Houston's in the same boat of like, all right, now let's go to January and you're in Arrowhead Stadium and you have to have one of these guys on the field. Like, no, you're not going to be remembering the preseason that they have.
Yeah, if it comes down to that, you're checking who got cut, who's available late in the year to see if you can bolster your roster. Pretty much in that
looking
realm
for Jeff Okuda.
Yeah, pretty much. Is Tre'Davious White going to be available? To him as guys who you at least believe cannot blow an assignment, even if they're not very good anymore. So we are at that point in the preseason. We'll get our final look at the Texans, whoever is out there before we get ready for the regular season, which is a couple Sundays away for the Texans. We'll go to break. Keith, I see that you're on hold. You want to talk? You can join us when we come back. The number is 713-780-3776. Also, because it is Friday, Michael Carroll will join us. I talked to Michael this week about his Friday last week because I believe Raheel was filling in for me. Michael didn't get a lot of time to give you things to watch, apparently, because it's Raheel. Things to go the way Raheel wants them to. He had some questions for Michael. You guys can ask him those questions too, but you can also get his reviews of what to watch on television and also what to go to theaters and watch if you so choose. I don't know that he would recommend Outer Banks. That would be Lexi's pick for everybody. Lexi loves herself some Outer Banks, and maybe trust her because she makes money at casinos. Not many people do. So maybe just trust her on your viewing habits. But we'll hear from Michael Carroll at 11:30 and you guys at 713-780-3776 if you call in. But before we go to break, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's the place you go to when you got a problem with your plumbing. It's pretty simple. We're in Lake Charles. They probably won't come out here if you're in the area, but if you're in Houston, they will reach you and fix whatever problem you have. And I say whatever problem you have because their expertise runs deep. It's not just a leak. It's not just a fixture. It could be a remodel. It could be your toilet. It could be your water heater, whether it be tankless or the traditional ones. Whatever you got, if it's a problem, Aqueduct Plumbing Company can help you. You can also call them at 281-488 6238. It's 281-488-6238 to get in touch with them. And remember, if it's a giant job, those big a big job like a repipe, they're Houston's premier repiping company. Nextdoor has them as their neighborhood favorite. So why not go with a company that your neighbors are going with and appreciate as well. So aqueductplumbingcompany.com is the website. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5. Something big is coming. On September 2nd, DraftKings Game Day arrives with massive deals, exclusive deals, and an all-day celebration built for sports fans. The DraftKings Sports app is now live in all 50 states. Yep, that means you, Texas. One app, every sport, all 50 states. DraftKings Game Day is yours. Remember the date, September 2nd. DraftKings Game Day is the kickoff of a new season, a new era, and the biggest day in sports history. New DraftKings customers, sign up with code Houston97. Five. Spend $5 to get 200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code Houston975 in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours. Event trading offered by DraftKings Predictions, a CFTC registered introducing broker. Trading involves risk of loss. Market availability varies. Eligibility restrictions apply. $50 every 7 days via click to claim issued in non-withdrawable predictions dollars that expire in 1 year. Terms at dkng.co/predictions promo. Nationwide based on sportsbook predictions and free-to-play sports contest availability. Varies by state.
Chances are, if you've been to a few weddings, corporate events, rodeo committee gatherings, or charity dinners over the years, you've enjoyed Damaris Catering.
Yanni Damaris here. Most people know Damaris Barbecue. Our family's been at it since 1964. Well, Damaris Catering has been around since the early 70s. We do events from 20 people to 5,000, serving a variety of cuisines to cater at any event.
From no tie to bow tie, it's taken care of. Damaris Catering. Find them at Damaris.com.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn.
And this is Bill Olson. Texas Outdoor News is the longest-running, most award-winning outdoor radio show in the state for a lot of good reasons.
We bring you the latest news and information about hunting and fishing across our great state and beyond.
And our guests are who's who from industry, government, and the field.
Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Join us Saturday mornings at 6, Sunday at 7 on ESPN 97.5.
Disaster strike, fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. When they do, Direct Relief delivers. Medicines, medical supplies, everything doctors and nurses need to save lives.
Let's ship her out!
Every day across the U.S. and around the world, they're making a difference. No politics, no red tape, just help. If your family needed urgent medical care, wouldn't you want that help fast? Direct Relief is a lifeline for people in crisis. So check them out at directrelief.org, and if you can, donate.
John Granato here with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Man, oh man, oh man, you guys are bigger and better than ever. You guys are doing something with AI now.
Oh my goodness, love it or hate it, AI is here, and we are fully embracing it. So we have all of these massive data centers coming into Texas, and Houston Powder Coaters is doing all of the framework. So you come out, you will see these massive frames, and they're all for these AI centers, these data centers.
They have to be perfect, and they picked you guys.
They picked us, so the welding has to be right, the prep work has to be right, the coding has to be right, and they know we're number one.
And if you buy new stuff, get it powder coated before you put it out, because you can't say it'll last forever, but it'll last almost forever.
It's going to give it a good 1 or 2 decades to go.
And it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever you have that's metal, powder coat it first.
Antiques, patio furniture, trailers, we got you.
ESPN listeners are saying it all the time. They're loving Houston Powder Coaters. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Ask for Robin.
I got you.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
Our final couple of hours here at the Golden Nugget. You guys should come out here when you get the opportunity, whether it be for a draft, a fancy football draft, or just to watch the games. It's a two-hour-plus drive, and you want to get to the sports book and just watch all the college football you want. This is a perfect place for it, whether it's the games coming up tomorrow with TCU in North Carolina and Dublin, or the real start of the season the week following that when you got everybody in action. It's a great place to be. And then, of course, the NFL quickly to follow after that. But let's get to Keith here. He wants to join the show. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Great month of August for, you know, the veteran receiver crew, Keenan Allen, Sterling Shepard, Zay Jones. My question is, you know, for a vet that was signed, you know, a few months back, Odell Beckham Jr., he's back with the Giants. Calvin Austin's done for the year. Juju Smith-Schuster's cut. Theo Johnson looks like he's done for the year. They're tight end next to Likely. What are the chances that OBJ is locked into a roster spot with the Giants? How do you guys feel about that? And also, any updates on Tyreek Hill to Baltimore? Because I really need that to kind of be locked in and hope his knee's doing well. Thanks, guys.
First off, for all you people who drafted Theo Johnson, there's no indication of a serious injury that would jeopardize his week one status. So Keith just told you he was done for the year. Keith, I have the internet. A laptop right in front of me. I don't have any. Maybe you know more than me. You did get the Vanderbilt thing right, of course. But right now, he simply just missed practice on Wednesday. No indication that he won't be ready for week one. In fact, John Harbaugh said that he will be ready for the season opener. Can't slip that by me just to get... Just to fantasize about Odell Beckham Jr. getting on the team for week one. And Theo Johnson is a pass-catching tight end, but he is a tight end. Your question would be whether they trade, or at least the question about Odell Beckham Jr. is whether they trade a couple of their veterans. Does Darius Slayton get moved? He was a guy that people mentioned the Texans should go after before they first signed Sterling Shepard and Zay Jones and then traded for Kayshon Boutte, who Mike Vrabel didn't give a particularly sterling review to as far as his status on the Patriots before he got traded. But I don't know the Giants depth chart by heart, but don't look at the tight ends. Look to see before the preseason wraps up if a guy gets cut, because they drafted Malachi Fields, who's going to make the roster. Darnell Mooney is slated to start along with Malik Nabers and Darius Slade. So that's four guys. Odell Beckham Jr. is not playing special teams, so Braxton Berrios can be at least a returner on special teams. I don't know if he's certainly not a gunner. He's slated to be their starting punt returner, so that doesn't help Odell Beckham's cause that another receiver is a special teamer. So the question is, for only you, Keith, particularly for people listening to this show, I would imagine, is Odell Beckham Jr. going to be better than someone that the Giants may be able to claim on waivers or pick up from another team who's cut? That's who you have to worry about. But he's not a lock. In fact, he dropped a touchdown against the Dolphins in the preseason game last week. So we'll see. I mean, you'll see. I'm not going to really pay attention. But that is my breakdown for you.
I will get the alert, I'm sure. When Odell Beckham, or if Odell Beckham gets cut. Like I that will come across my desk. But yeah, I'm not watching it. And like you said, once you get down toward the bottom, like if you can't be a top four receiver, you really got to play special teams. That's what gets these older guys out of the league so fast at wide receiver. That's why they leave like a year before you think they do, because like, oh yeah, he's not going to be a gunner. Like,
no.
Odell Beckham's not going to be a gunner.
And he's not a punt returner
And he's not
anymore.
Good enough to not have to do that.
Yeah, so he may stay with the Giants. But it will be because of a lack of options, it looks like, right now. Or maybe a guy gets hurt, and certainly that would help his cause, unfortunately, for the player. But you just mentioned a guy who's going to miss the rest of the year.
He had 55 yards, 9 catches in 2024. Why are we talking about this?
Because he called in, and this is Keith's thing. I got stuck in this because he always calls about this stuff. And was once a person asks a question, I will try to give him an honest enough answer since it's an actual question. There are some people you can look at and go, cut it out, Ryan. I'm not answering that question. Yeah. But at least it's a football question. But as far as your other question, Tyreek Hill is not going to be a Raven, at least not early. He's no power in his leg. Just keep that sentence in your head. That's what he said. I got no power in this leg. He's not going to play for you early. Hope Jacoby Lane is good. People are raving about him in camp. Hopefully that's real for you. So Lamar Jackson can actually have a guy who can go win a contested catch as opposed to what he's had over the course of his tenure there, particularly recently. Hell, you had OBJ there. You saw that act. Why do you keep asking about him other than your – I'm going to call it a proclivity. Others might call it a fetish that Keith has for free agent wide receivers. I'm just going to call it a proclivity, a big interest, but he's trending towards fetish with these questions. Thank you for the call, Keith, I guess. Well, I guess I'll thank you for that. If anyone else wants to ask about a once prominent receiver who no longer has any real influence on NFL proceedings, you're more than welcome to.
Odell Beckham hasn't had more than 600 yards. Hasn't had a 600-yard season since 2019.
Yeah, I don't know what the
– 600 yards.
He flashed brightly, but that light is dimmed.
What Keyshawn Booty did last year, wasn't going to play this year.
Yeah. In fact, AJ, let's get to that since we're in a wide receiver mode and Keith got us here. As the Texans are banking on Keyshawn Booty being their number two, and Greg Cosell, prominent evaluator of talent, has some high opinion of Booty and what he could provide. Let's hear from his coach. Or at least his ex-coach, his former coach, Mike Vrabel, who still looks like he's down. Like, there's a sad sack thing to Mike Vrabel right now. At least in the presser, in the clip I saw, we can all guess why. Or maybe we don't even have to guess. But he talked about Booty, and it's something I've talked about. Speaks to the wide receiver rooms for the Texans and the Patriots. We got one team who has Dobbs and Brown and likes their slot and Pop Douglas. And then we got the Texans desperate for any help, trading for a guy the Patriots didn't have real plans for. Here's Mike Vrabel on Keyshawn Booty.
It was one place where we do have some depth, and, you know, I think for all parties involved, that was probably the best thing. You know, without injuries, you know, Keyshawn probably would have been inactive, unfortunately. That just, it's kind of the way it was. It's just with this, you know, him not playing special teams, and I tried to thank Keyshawn as many times as I could. I texted him again today. His maturity, his growth, you know, his ability to put into words last year and share his own personal struggle, but also the growth that he made from that, that's positively going to affect a lot of people. And I know that wasn't easy for him to do, and I've telling him all the time about how much I respect him for being able to do that.
What Rabel's referencing it is Keyshawn Booty had had an article in the Players Tribune and he talked about his depression and addiction and how he's overcome that. That was earlier this year. He talked about that in that Players Tribune article. So that's what Rabel's talking about. But you heard him, at least the football part of the comment. He probably wasn't going to play for us, at least be active. He'd be a guy who was on the 53 but wouldn't make it to game day because of their depth. And while he's a younger player who doesn't play special teams. And if you are behind the types of guys the Patriots have, you got to find a way on the field and be a guy who they can roster or at least have on the active roster. And how do you do that? You become a core special teamer. That's not what he does. The Texans aren't going to ask him to do that because they're in a far different spot when it comes to wide receiver depth. That's fine. I mean, you would want to be in a better spot, and you certainly believed you were before Higgins got hurt. But the Patriots don't have the depth at defensive end that the Texans have, at least the frontline guys. The Texans have had some issues with guys getting hurt. It's just teams have different strengths, and the Texans' strength isn't receiver. And they're hoping they can get something out of a guy the Patriots didn't have big plans for. Just how it is sometimes. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to be the next person in, the number is 713-780-3776. I know some of you will wait for Michael Carroll. He'll be here right around 11:30 to give you what you should or shouldn't watch. So we'll get to Michael Carroll then. Anyone else will certainly get to you before that. We're here at the Golden Nugget in the DraftKings Sportsbook, wrapping up our time here. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
So that voice you heard is Michael Carroll, and as I mentioned, he'll join us at 11:30. He would have likely informed me of this, but the algorithm already got to me. Dark Matter Season 2, streaming right now. Question for me is, it's on Apple TV. The question for me is, do I remember enough about a show who last which last aired June 26th of 2024, to not have to go through a rewatch this weekend. So I'm up on. Or can I just get home after the listener party and get into Dark Matter? I don't know. I remember the premise. There are multiples of us across different worlds, but do I need the intricacies of that first season to get me locked in? It's one of those things. It's part of the streaming world we live in.
Yeah.
2 years, over 2 years since not the season premiere, season one, the season finale. We're talking June 26, 2024. 9 episodes. That's a lot to get through of an hour-long drama.
Normally, I'll do like either the last episode or the last 2 episodes, like in a situation like this. Just a little refresh, you know? I don't want to completely rely on the recap that happens when you press on episode 1 to season 2, you know, like they will go, you know, a little meatier. I don't know what this show does, but normally the season, you know, season opener recap is a little bit longer. They know that, like, hey, listen, we get it. It's been 2 years. Like, we'll force feed this a little bit more, but yeah. It's a problem.
It's another prime example of Apple TV's really bad marketing. I like this show, and it just happened to come across my algorithm, and now I know it's back. They don't do a great job of letting people know.
It's almost impressive in the other way how they keep things secret. Like, it's almost impressive that, like, they can't. Like, this is a multi-million dollar production that had to occur over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And, like, fan of the show.
It snuck up on me only because
in.
Who talks about television and movies a lot and has a dedicated segment to it, didn't know until it just popped up on my algorithm. It popped up.
Yeah, it's like almost it's like they do, you know, when an artist will just like have a secret drop, you know, just, whoa, I just, you know, opened up Spotify and there it is. It's like they do that with TV shows that they spend millions of dollars on, and you know, a lot of time, I don't know who's in this one, but a lot of times have
Jennifer Connelly, Joel Edgerton.
Yeah,
you got
like
big stars in it.
You're like, wait, this Jake Gyllenhaal show just popped up yesterday?
Okay, let me give it a watch.
How's there no one to alert us at least that they're filming this?
I assume there's been, they've gone on to, I forgot what those things are called, when the actors go and talk about their movies, like 20 people on the same day. Junket?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm assuming that's happened, but I have not seen any of that to let me know that the show is back. Well, for those who are Dark Matter fans, you may be out there, love a sci-fi show with multiple parallel universes. It's back for everyone. It's been 2 years, so maybe Michael Carroll will recommend it when he joins us.
Every night I've seen, like the last week, I've seen different angles of people on their phone recording the Batmobile wheeling around Glasgow, like, or whatever. And
like
I just
automatic fire at this Batmobile. I've seen that multiple times this week. And
imagine if we were just like, what is this for?
The Batman 2. Well,
just not knowing it comes out until whatever, February of 2020.
Meanwhile, partly because of Lexi and just other stuff, I can't get away from Outer Banks stuff. Oh, damn, crap show. Outer Banks is the Netflix version of the Fast franchise, and what I mean by that is at some point they all became superheroes. Like, it used to be, hey, these kids from the poor side have to, and there's one attractive girl from the rich side, and they get together, and it's about this, about the haves and the have-nots in this community, and an event happened. It's like, it became like the first couple seasons, like the Goonies for teenagers who were actually like 25 years old. This one, now they're coming back from the dead. They're deep sea diving and finding. Like I said, it's the Netflix Carolinas version of Fast Five, and they travel the world now. They got no money, but they can travel the world. And Lexi loves it, so maybe take her advice or take mine. Who knows? As far as now that I'm off my Dark Matter and Apple TV tangent, a couple of things to get to before we get to a break. So, college football season begins for a lot of us tomorrow, and it will be TCU versus North Carolina in Dublin. A lot of changes across the sport, and I'm now just talking about the games, not all the court rulings that continue to go on. TCU lost Josh Hoover to Indiana, so it'll be Jaden I believe it's a
Jaden Craig
from Harvard who will be their starting quarterback. He's a grad transfer. So anyone worried about Jaden Craig losing out on his Harvard degree to go play quarterback at TCU, I think he already got that done, and now he's a grad transfer. Don't worry, everyone. He got the Harvard degree.
Now his resume can look impressive.
Yeah.
Doing some post-grad at TCU.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what class
finally,
he's
this guy can get a job.
Do you think he just naps through TCU classes, considering what he had to go through, and still gets the grades he needs? I'm sure TCU's a fine institution.
Oh, that'd be a good Chad Powers-esque or Billy Madison-esque kind of show of, like, a guy transfers from Harvard to maybe not TCU, but even, like, lower down the pit, and they're like, oh, my God. Like,
yeah, and while
it's like Idiocracy.
Yeah, I would like his POV versus another student's POV, where this student's hearing something that sounds very intricate, and he's hearing 2 + 2.
Yeah,
everything he hears just sounds like that because of what his experience is. Yeah,
do you know how easy that is for me?
Yeah, what are you guys doing? Goes up there, tries to teach the class. So that's the premier game of the weekend. But Bill Connelly has an article referencing teams who have never won a title, who's most likely to win it. And you see, and this is based off of what Indiana did, considering their history and what they did, you can almost say anyone can win a title now that Indiana's did it. Now, of course, you get a transformational figure like Kirk Cignetti, that changes the game.
Start spending some money.
Certainly. So how many programs are going to be able to hire a coach of his status and all the things he can do to transform a program and then get the backing of guys like Mark Cuban? So it's a little tough. Like, of course, Texas Tech is prominently mentioned in this article because of Cody Campbell, maybe less so about Joe McGuire. Joe McGuire, I'm sure, it's a fine coach. But you got Cody Campbell backing you. That is the impetus. That's the reason people are now believing in Tech, because they finally had the backing from someone who can buy their way into a national contention. The Thomas Castellanos thing, it doesn't completely eradicate what Cody Campbell does, but I was trying to think about the saddest people in college football. I want to put the Texas Tech wide receivers on the list. Like, there are some returning guys, they got to transfer as well. If you went there thinking you're going to have a real productive year catching the football, good luck.
And it started, I was going to catch passes from Brendan Sorsby.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it started.
Now you're going to catch passes or not catch passes because of the inaccuracies from one Thomas Castellanos.
Balls will be thrown your way.
Yeah.
In your general direction.
How many off-target throws? What the percentage will be, I can't say that. I can't say what it will be, but I watched him at Florida State and at Boston College. He's not a drop-back passer. A lot of quarterback run game. I'm sure he'll be able to make some plays. It just won't be an efficient passing offense, if I had my guess. But they're on the list.
If I'm Will Hammond, I'm insulted by what's happened this offseason at Texas Tech.
They have done everything they can to show they don't believe in him. Now, some of it has to do with him coming off a major injury, but the indication, no matter what Joey McGuire might say in a presser, is we don't think this guy's good enough. We think we have a shot to do big things. We're going to go find a guy. And because of the Sorsby thing not working out for him, they had to pivot. And with Thomas Castellanos getting a fifth year, they went with him. And good luck to everyone involved in that endeavor. So Tech's at the top of the list as far as teams who could win a national title as first-timers. And you can go through the list and go, okay, that makes some sense. So on and so forth. What I will not stand for is Iowa being fourth on the list.
How
have we watched Iowa football the last 30 years? There have been runs where they made it to a Big Ten title game. Of course, the final score is like 10-6, because that's what it would be like for Iowa in a Big Ten title game. But what about Iowa's trajectory suggests at any point that we would consider them a national title contender? And I'm not even going the Kurt Ferentz angle, which is a big one. He just wants to get involved in a brand of football that lowers the ceiling of any program. But I don't know that they have a giant backer. This is not a shot at Iowa for their football success. For a program in a part of the country that's not going to have a lot of ability to just be a national power recruiting, the kids aren't in your state. It's not going to work that way. Yeah. They have found a way to be competent, and more than that, I won't call them a power in the Big Ten, but someone who can F up your season if you screw around when you go to Iowa City. They can do that. They're a nuisance to the best teams in that conference. But winning a national title, it's not more amazing than Indiana because nothing is. Because Iowa at least has have some pelts in the wall as far as success. But that coach and the way he wants to run it and his status as he can choose to retire, but if he doesn't, he's never getting fired. Get out of here, Bill Connolly. Your whole list is null and void.
It's bunk.
Fourth, I mean, yeah. He mentioned the Cougs. I would have the Cougs above. Now, they have some their own financial concerns, but if we're just talking about programs and the way they operate it, like if Tillman's decide to go all in on the Cougs, I would have them way above Iowa.
That's the thing with I'd like if Iowa did have that, if they were making some noise that they're ready to spend some serious cash, if they're doing a Virginia Tech style, like, yep, we got a guy, even if it was still Kirk Ferentz, it was just like, yep, we are now motivated to, you know, capitalize, do what it takes to become a national powerhouse. Like, yeah, like I can at least walk down the road of like, well, if Indiana can do it, they can do it. But they don't actually have that. They are still kind of doing the normal Iowa thing of like, they're tailor-made to be, I don't know, third to fifth in the Big Ten, which is impressive
which is really
in its
good,
own way.
Yeah.
But also,
we're talking winning a national title.
Yeah, like it's not, like you said, there's not any upside.
And is Kirk, does Kirk Ferentz want to be in that business of being a guy who has to get in battles for $4 million quarterbacks?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like the type.
No.
So that's another reason to rule him out. Because if he's there, really good coach. There's certain coaches who don't want to be involved in that aspect of college football. Whether I joke about it or not, Nick Saban apparently was turned off by what college football has becoming. A guy who we know did everything necessary to win. He said enough. I certainly don't think Kirk Ferentz wants to get into that level of spending to go win at the highest level. So the top is Oregon.
Yeah,
we get that.
Oregon was, I would say, like has always been at the top of the, basically since whatever, but since Phil Knight started.
Since Bilotti and Phil Knight got together and decided we're going to really invest in this thing. They have been.
It's honestly like embarrassing that Indiana beat them to it, but that's fine.
And beat them down last year.
Yeah, and in the way that they did to pass them by.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Oregon was always the like standard, first team to ever, or first team to win their first national title since Florida in 96, probably Oregon. And the fact that we're still talking about, not just we're still talking about that they haven't done it, but another team did it, another team in their conference. It is, they are kind of like Texas Tech with, like, what, another 15 years of track record?
Yeah.
But other than that, and they have, like, Nike right down the road. It's a little bit easier for them. But, yeah, them and Tech have, to me, a similar, like, kind of profile in this. And they're both teams that are probably going to be top 10-ish at the very least. Tech is like 12 in the preseason. But, yeah, they're going to be top 10 by the end of the year.
And the advantage, of course, for Oregon, beyond, like, their roster stacked, they do have the quarterback who can go do that. Tech, we're very unsure about their quarterback's ability to lead them. So it's Oregon, Tech, then you go to Ole Miss, SEC. We saw them make a national semifinal last year. That quarterback's coming back. But this is a general conversation, not necessarily about this season. And, yeah, they're willing to spend. And we'll see what Pete Golden is after Lane Kiffin goes LSU. I still have my question about anyone calling another grown man daddy who isn't their actual daddy or on Righteous Gemstones from winning. I still question whether that coach can go win a national title.
Yeah.
That is on Pete Golding's jacket, calling Nick Saban daddy when he was an assistant at Alabama. But he will at least early have the backing of that state. At least the non-Starkville portion of that state, and also the money, because he's a guy who stayed. I believe he told Lane Kiffin, no, I'm not joining you, when Lane Kiffin was making decisions.
Yeah, I think he was like immediately tapped as
the
interim.
Guy.
And not even interim. They made him the head coach.
Yeah.
So I think it was a little bit of that. Like, well, I'm going to get a promotion.
There's no need for me to even consider.
DC, yeah.
Even if you do ask. So – Trinidad Chambliss, that's about this year. But Ole Miss, I wouldn't call them a sleeping giant because they've been involved in top 15, top 20 teams.
Yeah.
You go back to Eli Manning, you've got the I always forget his name.
Bo Wallace?
No,
Chad Kelly,
the coach, Hugh Freeze. Yeah. They quarterbacks of that era, but sure, Hugh Freeze. So they've been a good program, and they took a step. Their best season, I would say, ever. At least at least during the time I've been alive, making a national semifinal. So they're right there in the mix. And then, of course, Iowa's mentioned. You can drop them down to 30 for all I care. I don't ever see that team winning a national title. Then there are others like Illinois and Utah. Now they have a regime change in some ways with Kyle Whittingham being at Michigan now. So it's all the teams who you would look at and go, that's always a pretty good team, but do they have enough?
Yeah.
And I think Oregon and Texas are the clear next up, unless there's another miracle Indiana situation that we don't know about.
And I mean, to be fair, like Indiana made it to where it's like it's more possible if you are, you know, not on this list, but you are like I would still say like a Power 2 kind of team, maybe even Power 4 team. But it is like more possible that you're like, well, you know, we're one like out of the park higher away and getting our, you know, stuff together financially. Like, there is at least a path in a way that there wasn't, whatever, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, before, where it's like, no, you actually do need to, like, have a long term of, like, just stacking, you know, good three-star recruiting classes on top of each other and eventually work it. Now it's like, I mean, you could, one rogue booster away from having a $50 million payroll next year. Like, that is possible for some team to do. So if you are like, you know, whatever, South Carolina or something, you can still like tell yourself that it's possible to do that.
Yeah, it's very much the case. And the Cougs come in at 13th, unless we know they've been steps away from, mere seconds away from winning a national title in basketball and with football. It seems like they have the right coach, and they have at least proven they can go get a big timer from their own area, which is always going to be a question sometimes for a program of, I will say the Cougs have room to grow, and I think it's quite possible they do. But as far as their recent history, a guy like Kayshawn Henderson goes someplace else, and the fact that he stayed, and in part because of the new landscape of college football, it certainly helped to the Cougs that they could secure him. And they have a good team, and he'll be a part of it. He won't start. Connor Wegman's got that job. But that's just an indication that, to your point, that whether it be a rogue booster or just, you know, a regular one like Tillman. You can keep talent home
like
and get an elite talent. I do love rogue booster as a phrase. An elite talent like Henderson, and does he become a bit of the Pied Piper figure, where particularly if he plays some this year and plays well, it convinces others in this area to go, I'd rather play here than play at Texas because Willie Fritz has it going. And not just Texas, A&M comes in here and grabs players too. Hell, the entire country does. It is Houston, and it's just talent across the board. All right, we'll go to break here. And probably this ends hour one. AJ will take care of that for us. And then when we get back from hour two, we'll get into some more things that we haven't touched on. But also I want to remind you that Michael Carroll joins us at 11:30. So we're at the DraftKings Sportsbook in the Golden Nugget here in Lake Charles. It is the perfect time to come out here. It's a quick trip. We had our fantasy draft out here, and everyone came out here as far as the people who won spots. And it's not a bad drive. 2 hours and 10 to 15 minutes, depending on what part of Houston you're in. And you can spend your weekend here enjoying the college football weekend. And also the preseason NFL games, and then even as I keep talking about, as in the weeks to come, you're going to have a full slate of college football games and the NFL slate, and it's the best place to watch it in the general area. So we'll go to break. We'll come back with hour two.
ESPN 97.5.